Come on, let's love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I'm going to pull it up here on the screen. If I can find my phone right here. The wonders of modern technology are such that they are amazing and terrifying at the same time. I began to look for my notes here, my slides, and as I was looking for them, I found another slideshow with the same title that had none of my verses in it. And under my breath, I was blaming Sister Amanda for working on the slideshows after I did, and I just knew in my heart that she had overwritten my slide presentation.
Possible.
And
very possible.
But it turns out that it was all in my mind, and that it was all was well and good. There's a lesson in that.
That's right.
About judging people before you have all the facts.
Right.
If you have your Bibles though and want to turn with me so you can follow along, in 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter and the 20th verse, 2 Chronicles 33 and 20, it says, "So Manasseh slept with his fathers," that means he died, "and they buried him in his own house. And Amon his son reigned in his stead." So Amon took over the throne. Amon was 22 years old, that's 22 for those of you that may have trouble figuring that out, when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed, by the way, Manasseh was an evil king too. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. And then chapter 34 and verse number 1 says, Josiah. Now this is Amon's son. This is Manasseh's grandson. Does everybody understand that? Josiah was 8 years old. Everybody say 8 years old.
8 years old.
When he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. Now David being his distant ancestor, not his direct father, walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And what I want to speak to you about for a little bit after we have prayed is that no matter what your circumstances, how you were raised, what your ancestors did, you can break the chain. Everybody say, you can break the chain. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can break the chain. Let's lift our voices and our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence that we feel in this place. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We need you. We need you. We need you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Now, as I have already pointed out, Manasseh, who was the grandfather of Josiah, Manasseh was a direct descendant of King David. A direct descendant of King David. But Manasseh is mentioned in verse 20 and but David, as we all know, King David was a godly king. And matter of fact, wrote most of the Psalms that are in the book of Psalms. And with the exception of a couple of failures in his life, which David did have his failures, Amen. How many of you know we all have our failures? But with the exception of a couple of failures in his life, David was a godly king. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And that's the thing. David made mistakes, but David's heart was almost always in the right place. But by the time of Manasseh, you know, in those days, kingdoms were handed down. It was divine right, as they called it. When you died, your son took over. And then when he died, his son took over. And that's still the way it is in some places today. But Manasseh began to reign about 300 years after David. That's a long time. Long time. And Manasseh made his mark quickly as being the opposite of what David had been. Manasseh was an ungodly king. And matter of fact, the Bible says that Manasseh introduced polytheistic worship. And if you don't know what that word polytheistic means, it means worship of many gods, multiple gods. David, of course, believed in the one true God of Israel, Jehovah God. He didn't believe in false idols and these other things. But Manasseh introduced multiple gods to the people and to the nation of Judah. He introduced the worship of Baal. He introduced the worship of Asherah, another god or goddess rather. He adopted the worship of the Assyrian gods, perhaps to try to gain points with the Assyrians. I don't know. How many of you understand people today still choose their gods based on who they think it's going to make them points with? Oh, I know you say, but I don't worship multiple gods, brother. Yes, you do. Whatever is most important in your life is what you worship. And you may not set a little idol up in your house, and you may not bow down to it, but whatever it is that gets your time, whatever it is that gets your money, whatever it is, let me say that again, whatever it is that gets your time, whatever it is that gets your money, that is the thing that is a god to you. Amen. Amen. And so sometimes people choose their gods based upon who their friends are serving. You know, if everybody else likes Justin Bieber, I will too. Oh, God help us. But that's the way that so many people are. They let public perception affect who their god is going to be. But probably the single most horrific thing of all of the things that Manasseh did and all of the things that Manasseh introduced to the children of Judah. And by the way, we're still talking about the grandfather of Josiah. Probably the most horrific thing that he did was he introduced a horrible practice of child sacrifice to a god by the name of Moloch or Molech, as we might call him today. And that was where Manasseh earned his name to fame, was in the fact that he would burn children alive in worship to this false god, Molech. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah that he had the priests of Israel, the priests of Judah, slaughtered. And history tells us that the blood of the prophets ran red in the streets, because Manasseh didn't want anybody to tell him what he was going to do. And he was so perverse, and he was so destructive, and he was such a terrible, terrible, horrible, evil individual that he had all the preachers of God slaughtered so he wouldn't have anybody that would be a conscience to him. Amen. And so Manasseh reigned for a period of 55 years. And during that 55 years, the people of the true God, the worshipers of the one true God, lived in a state of constant fear. And they lived in a state of constant terror, because Manasseh orchestrated this reign of terror. The good news is that Manasseh repented in his old age. The good news is that he humbled himself and he turned to God. But you got to understand that the seeds of his rebellion had already been sown. And when his son Amon took the throne at just 22 years of age, his mind was already poisoned by the sin of his father. One of the greatest tragedies of life today is I see far too many people who wait too late to get their children in church. And then the day comes after they've sowed their wild oats and their own seeds. And then they want to turn things around. And meanwhile, their children were not raised in the house of God. And they wonder why they're having problems with them when they're 15, 16, 18, 20 years old. But if you raise a child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, when they're young, amen, then you'll plant something in them that they will never forget. Hallelujah. And so even though Manasseh turned back to God, his son Amon did not. And Amon reigned just 2 years before he was assassinated by some of his own people. And he was as wicked, if not more so, than his father had been. And so when we read our scripture text, we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We've got to understand that it was into this perverted family that Josiah was born. Praise God. It was into this family where his father was an idol worshiper. His grandfather was an idol worshiper before him. His grandfather sacrificed children by burning them alive to false gods. I can't think of an environment that would be any more toxic for a child to be born into than what Josiah was born into. And it would seem as though that everything in life was against Josiah becoming a successful king, much less a man of God. Amen. It would seem that everything was against him that said there's no way possible that this child is going to turn out all right. Praise God. We're looking right now at a similar situation in North Korea. Amen. Where you've got this piggish little creature called Kim Jong-un that inherited a dictatorship from his father, Kim Jong-il. And his father was corrupt, and his grandfather was corrupt before him. He inherited his dictatorship from his corrupt father, Kim Il-sung. And so it's no wonder that this man is the raving maniac and tyrant that he is. It's no wonder that he is as nutty as he is. Amen. I have read where he has people executed with anti-aircraft guns. And if you have any idea of what that would do to a body, you just can't even begin to imagine. He has done things as terrible as have people executed with steamrollers by having steamrollers roll over the top of them. This man is looked upon in that nation as though he is practically a god. And he thinks that the people are there for his to abuse as he sees fit. Amen. And Josiah was born into a family just like that, even worse. And just 8 years of age, he began to reign. And if you were a betting man today, and if you had to put money on it, you would say Josiah had no chance. If you had to bet on it, you would say there's no way that he's going to be a godly king. There's no way that he's going to change the course of the kingdom. But there was something about the boy king that verse 2 says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Just at 8 years of age, he said, I'm not going to be like my dad, and I'm not going to be like my grandpa, but I have decided that I'm going to walk with the Lord, and I'm not going to deviate to the right hand or to the left, but I'm going to serve the God of David, and I'm going to serve the God of Israel. Hallelujah. The life you live does make a difference on those that follow you. Can you say amen? Deuteronomy 5 and 9, the Lord said, I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. The things that you do now are going to affect your children, your grandchildren, and even your great-grandchildren. Praise God. They're going to affect them. And this is the reason why we oftentimes see poverty pass from one generation to the next. Our society calls this a cycle of poverty. That's what they refer to this phenomenon. We see poverty pass from generation to the next. We see alcoholism passed down from generation to the next. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We see drug addiction passed down. Children become alcoholics because mama was an alcoholic or because daddy was an alcoholic. And society says that it's just a genetic disease because they don't understand the concept of generational curses. Society says it's in the gene somewhere and we just haven't figured it out yet. But the reality is the Lord said that I will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children. I could go on and we could talk about spousal abuse, how they've seen that when a man abuses his wife, that their children are many times more likely to abuse their own spouses when they become adults. And it's difficult for each generation to overcome the iniquity of their forefathers. And some people even give up and they say, I just have got to live like my dad did, or like my mom did, or like my grandpa did. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to live like your mother did. You don't have to live like your father did. You can decide that you're going to break the chain. You can decide that you're going to break the cycle. You can decide that it's going to be different in your household. Somebody can break the chain. Somebody can break the cycle. Somebody can say, enough is enough. My grandfather was not raised on my dad's side, was not raised in this apostolic truth. Back then, very few people knew about it. But grandpa, amen, even though he was not raised in apostolic truth, when he heard the message preached by D.L. Welch somewhere in the outback of Mississippi, when he heard the message preached, amen, he heard it and he hungered for it, Brother Curry. And so he went to an altar and he started seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I want you to know that some, I don't know how long ago, it's been now probably close to 80 years ago, that God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was baptized in Jesus' name. And he said, my children are not going to be raised like I was raised. My family's not going to be like I was, because the Holy Ghost had got a hold of him and God had changed him, and he decided that he was going to break the chain. Hallelujah. They tell me that he used to dip Prince Albert in the can. Is that what it was, Dad? Rolled his own. Oh, but when he got the Holy Ghost, anyway, some of the kids wouldn't even know what that was. But when he got the Holy Ghost, he put it up on the shelf and he said, by the help and grace of God, I'll never touch it again. And he never did. Amen. And I could go on and on. There's countless others that have come up in homes where there was drug addiction and there was this mess and brokenness, and parents and families were broken and destroyed. But because somebody sought after the Holy Ghost and somebody said, by the help and grace of God, not in my house, not in my household, not in my family, it's going to be different in my family. Things were different. My grandmother on my mama's side. Let me tell you a little bit about my grandma Snipes. My mama's mama. You'd had to know her. She was a pistol. She never met anybody that she didn't know. She used to look in the newspapers and see obituaries and go to funerals for fun. Walking in, hey y'all, hey. She knew everybody. You'd never know that her husband, my mother's dad, was a womanizer. My grandfather was a womanizer and a gambler who disappeared for months at a time. And Grandma raised Mom and her brother, my Uncle Lewis, in a mill village in downtown Atlanta, a seat of poverty in the inner city. I don't know how many of you know what a mill village is, but it's called Cabbage Town. It's still called that in downtown Atlanta. Grandma went off to the mills every day and worked to provide for my mother and for her brother, because Grandpa was gone out with some woman and out gambling away everything that he possibly made. And that is the kind of environment that my mother was born into. Amen. But Mama, amen, thank God, had a mother, my grandmother, who, when a man came by with a bus, a man by the name of T.C. Montgomery, and said, "We want to take you to church. We want to tell you about Jesus." Grandma put my mother and her brother, my Uncle Lewis, on that bus and took them to the house of God. And there God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they were baptized in Jesus' name. And Grandma said, "I don't care what my husband's been like. I don't care what my upbringing's been like. It's going to be different in my house. I'm going to raise my children different." Grandma brought Mom up, taught her the ways of the Lord. Taught my uncle that I never met. Some of you have heard me tell the story about Uncle Lewis. Contracted leukemia when he was just 14 years of age. He died just 14 years old. But before he died, he received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as his spirit gave the utterance. They buried him in a bathtub, not buried him, but they baptized him in a bathtub because he was too sick to get to church. But every time, his favorite song, and every time, I can't even sing it without thinking it. But his favorite song and the last song that he sang before he died was "Some Glad Morning. When this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'm going to fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away." Why? He could sing that song before he died because Grandma said, "Somebody's got to break the chain. Somebody's got to break the chain." My boy's not going to die never knowing that Jesus loves him. My boy's not going to die in despair in a mill village thinking that this is all that there is. With a father who's never around. With a man who's out gambling away everything that he's got. No, she said, "My children are going to know different. They're going to be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Amen. You see, the good news, folks, is even though the scripture said, "I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation," Deuteronomy 7 and 9 said, this is the good news. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." In other words, he said, "I may put a generational curse on you that'll last two or three generations. But if you make up your mind you're going to live for me and you're going to serve me, I'm going to bless your family and your descendants for a thousand generations." Hallelujah. I'm going to pour a blessing out on you that you're not going to be able to contain. Thank you, Jesus. So you see, the bad effects, the effects of iniquity are only felt to the fourth generation. But the effect of righteousness are felt to a thousand generations. Thank you, Jesus. And so Josiah, look at what Josiah did. Look at what Josiah did in verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, now I did the math on this. I said, well, he became king when he was 8. So in the 8th year of his reign, he was just 16. Actually, this would have been a good sermon to preach last week during our youth service. But nevertheless, the Lord chose not to give it to me then. He gave it to me for this week, so he knew who was going to be here. But he said, in the 8th year of his reign, just 16 years old, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, now if he was 8 when he became king, in the 12th year he would have been 20. Just 20 years old, he said, hey, we've got false gods and false idols in high places. And he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, in the groves, in the carved images, in the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. I like that. That says he personally oversaw it. He didn't just say, y'all go out and tear down the altars and go out and tear down the groves to Baal. No, he said, I want to go out there and I want to watch them being torn down. I want to make sure that it's done and that it's done right. He threw out the idols. He personally oversaw their destruction. He was just 20 years old. But he was a man on a mission. And he said, I will not be like my father. I will not be like my grandfather. Look at what he had him do in verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. He said, it's time to build up the temple. Now, somebody might say, well, why hadn't he done this before? Let me tell you something, folks. You know, a lot can happen in 300 years. And if you read this whole chapter, you understand that they had lost the word of God. They didn't have internet. They had lost the word of God. And as they were, he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. He was flying blind. He was just doing the best that he knew. But as they started to clean up the house of God and put it back together, they found the word of God buried in the rubble. And the Bible said that when they brought it to Josiah and they showed him what they had, that he tore his clothes when he read it. And he said, my God, look at what we have done. And this was years after he had already started trying to do the right thing. And it said, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Who is this message for today? Well, here's what I'm closing with. I don't care how abusive your father was. I don't care how abusive your mother was. You don't have to be. I don't care how many or what kind of drugs your mama did or your daddy did. You don't have to. I don't care how much alcohol your grandfather consumed. You don't have to. I said, you don't have to. I don't care what circumstances you've gone through in your life. And this is not to say that they're not serious, because they are. We all have serious things that we've had to deal with. Some folks have had the horror of having to deal with sexual abuse. Some have had to deal with physically abusive parents and grandparents and drug addicted parents and grandparents. And some have had parents that are in prison, maybe even right now. But what I'm saying to us today, and the word of the Lord for us today, is you can break the chain. You can be the one that says, You know what? Maybe I wasn't raised right. I'm not talking about myself here. I thank God for godly parents. But maybe you weren't raised right. But you can say, I'm going to make sure that my children are. I'm not going to make the mistakes that my mama made or that my daddy made. It's going to be different in my house. Amen. I like what David had to say. Some of his last words. I preached a message about this one time. I'm not going to preach it again. Don't worry. Not right now. Maybe later. But some of the last words, Brother Jeremy, that David had for Solomon. He says this strange phrase. He talks about all the ways that Solomon needs to serve the Lord. And then David says, though it be not so with my house. And I had to dig into that a little deeper. What David was saying is, Solomon, what I'm telling you is, don't make the mistakes that I made. You can be different. I haven't always done things right, but you can be different. I don't know about any of you, rest of you, but as a parent, I don't want my children to make the mistakes that I made. Amen? Isn't that what good parents are supposed to be all about? Help their kids avoid the same mistakes that they made? Right? It's a sad thing that it's so hard to convince them that you know what you're talking about. That you've been there. They all think they know everything. But let's everybody stand. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and your voices for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can break it today. You can break it today. Hallelujah. 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 I don't care what kind of generational curse or whatever it is you think that you're under today. Josiah was under a generational curse, but he broke that chain by humbling himself to the Lord. And you can do the same thing today. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's anybody here right now as they sing something for us. I wonder if there's anybody that feels like maybe you've carried some generational chains with you around that you're dealing with right now, and you want to be free. Would you make your way to this altar? Hallelujah, hallelujah. As they sing something for us. Praise God, praise God. Is there anybody that wants to come? Anybody that wants to come? Come on, anybody that wants to come. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, it's okay. I don't want to make the mistakes.
Tell me who will
I don't want to make the mistakes.
Let nothing stand in our way. Give
I don't
the
want my children to make the mistakes
deserves.
That I made. I don't want to make the mistakes that my forefathers made.
We will serve
hallelujah.
The Lord. Choose you this day. Tell me who will you serve. Let nothing stand in our way. Give the praise he deserves. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve him.
You know, I was just thinking about Josiah. We talked about earlier, 8 years old when he became king, and we know his dad was wicked. We know he didn't learn righteousness from his father. So it got me to thinking, where did he hear it from? Tells me that there was a nanny, Sunday school teacher, somebody who literally risked their life, because remember, the blood of the prophets was running red through the streets. Somebody risked their life to put something into Josiah when he was just a baby, and said, One day you'll be king. But you don't have to be like your daddy. One day you'll be king. But you don't have to be like your grandfather. Amen. Thank God for people in our lives that are influences on us, positive influences. Amen. I'm thankful for godly Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful for godly youth directors. I'm thankful for godly assistant pastors and godly men and women of God in church who set an example for me and helped me along the way.